You are now tuned in to the Bleed Blue Show. Here are your hosts, Steve Blair and Chris Miles.
Show form for the fans. Your co-host Steve, alongside my Bleed Blue partner in crime, Chris. Chris, this yep. is the Blues Day recap. We usually do one of these shows once a month where we freestyle off the sports, talk it the Bleed Blue Show way beyond Knicks, Giants, Yankee, Rangers. But coming down the pipe, New York Football Giants get a new head coach, Ben McAdoo. What's your thoughts on that? How's everything with you before we even get into that, man?
Oh man, I'm stressed out, overworked, cold, getting older. And just plain sick. Other than that, man, I'm doing pretty good. How about yourself, bro?
Not bad. This is like our first, I can say, our last episode we've done with the Giants was actually the end of Week 17. And a lot of the stuff with Fire Coughlin, all over social media. We didn't want to get into all that stuff. The Bleed Blue Show, we don't really deal with rumors. I could care less about that. And then the timing could have been any perfect because Ben McAdoo, New York Football Giants head coach. And I wanted to get your thoughts. We get people on. We'll talk about it the way it should be done with Bleed Blue Show talking sports, the way fans are talking. So, Chris, what's your thoughts on New York Football Giants new head coach, Ben McAdoo?
Wow is my thought, my initial thought. You know what? Okay. And you just alluded to the fact that we don't speak rumors here.
No, hell no.
No, we don't do that. I'm not a rumor guy. I'm not really a sports media guy from the television aspect. I do listen from time to time on what the breaking news is, on what the player trades are. I want to know salary caps. I want to know the highlight, who did what, who scored what, who hit the home run, and I'm out. Because the other stuff we already got down. I don't need to dwell on it like it's a soap opera. But sometimes when you're totally invested in a team like I am with the New York Football Giants, you are interested in how they talk about your family. You know what I mean? So you sort of stay closer to the vest, but you also stay, you know, rooted in reality, man. Like, hey, you know, you're a sports media guy for, I don't know, XM Radio, and you're based out in California. That don't mean you don't know anything about what's going on with the New York Football Giants. You're just part of that fraternity that hears things, shares information, and you can't verify whether it's true or not. So I don't listen to you. But I know my squad. And it's like this. A lot of people feel that it's a shock to the system a little bit, you know, that McAdoo, you know, is the coach. I mean, you know, he's only had a few years as a coordinator. He's probably not as sought after as the other candidates was the past 2 weeks, like Adam Gase, who finally got over to the Miami Dolphins, and Hugh Jackson today signed with the Cleveland Browns, and there's some more other people going on here and there, interviewing for this job, that job. You know, I know Rob Ryan is the new defensive coordinator for the Bills, and the first thing he does is he signs his first assistant, Ed Reed, the future Hall of Famer. You know, they get these little things going on like that. Well, I like to hear that. McAdoo's a shock to people because he didn't do a lot of interviews. He's not all that well-known. He's not a me kind of guy. A lot of people have never really heard him express himself. If you know anything about the Maratish family, they work from within. They don't like a lot of turnover. They don't like a lot of noise. They don't like a lot of fussiness within their office buildings. They keep it kind of low-key, and they like to have a certain people rooted in certain positions that they can go to for one-time answers, one-stop shops. They don't want to run all over the place. You know, they work the old-school way, you know, but they also treat you with respect. They treat you with respect. For instance, I understand our beloved coach, future Hall of Famer Tom Coughlin, former ex-coach, he already had an interview with Philadelphia. I know he's on his way to San Francisco. He's going all over, and he's accommodating these people with these interviews. You know, he stepped down as the head football coach of the New York Giants after 12 years. But we all know that he was fired. You know, if he wasn't, she wouldn't be interviewing anywhere. But the Maras will never tell you that. They will tell you, hey, you know, this is how we do it. He was, you know, he gave us some great years. We wish him well. End of story. No fanfare, no nonsense. To keep it quiet like that. So that could be a curse or a plus, depending on how you look at it. But back to McAdoo a minute. The con here is probably his experience, but I'm not going to dwell on that because he knows what he's up against, and he knows what kind of personnel he's worked with for a while. Pro here that I see is now we can all put it on him if there's an issue. And my reference point will always be, Steve, the very first game of this past season, Thursday night nationally televised game.
Sunday night
game against the Dallas Cowboys, which everybody saw, and we had won pretty much with a minute and 51 seconds left, I think it was.
Something like
and
that.
And there was all that noise that happened. The sideline confusion, you know, totally disrupted everything that happened on the field, and we ended up, you know, giving up the ball and a turnover, and not a turnover, on I think we gave it up by downs, I believe, right? All I know is we, you know, Dallas came back and they won the game, you know, at the last, you know, a few seconds of the game. And, you know, the talk of the town was the confusion from the sidelines. What was Eli supposed to play? What was he supposed to run? What was Rashad Jennings supposed to do? And there was total confusion, and everybody, and they were correct, always all of alluded to it being a sideline issue. Well, that told me, like I had thought about the last, and totally in 2014 as well, that there's some confusion or some friction going on somehow between the stalwart head coach, Tom Coughlin, and the new offensive coordinator, who was more of a risk taker, more of a new tech kind of guy, Ben McAdoo, that totally put everything into disarray. You know, and I'm not talking about the product so much on the field as much as I'm talking about the execution of that product that's on the field. And when that happened, I knew there was some frustration and friction. Now he's the man. Now he's free to do what he wants to do, and he's probably going to pick somebody that he knows to handle the offensive coordinator duties so they could go ahead and do what his vision was all the time, explode with the offense, which is not that – doesn't need that many parts to rebuild. Our problem is the New York Giants' defense, you know. We're gonna see how interesting this is gonna unfold. Because, man, it's his show now. And being that it's his stage, being that it's his team, being that it's his franchise, being that it's his players, it's going to be also his blitz when it comes to the media. His scrutiny when it comes to the fans, you know, his decision making will be definitely on display for the 2016 season going forward, starting with minicamp and on. And we'll see what happens. So, congratulations, Ben McAdoo. Welcome aboard. I hope you're a hell of a lot more Bill Parcells than you are Ray Hanley. That's all I got to say.
We definitely should see that. We're going to bring on the callers one by one. You might as well say this is the unofficial roundtable. This was a Blues Day recap. We're going to make this a roundtable.
Right.
So when you come on, just mute your phones whenever you're not speaking. We'll just keep it short like that. Let's bring on the infamous Knickerbocker Av, your source for the street for our New York Knicks. Av, what's up,
Uh-oh.
Man? How you doing?
Uh-oh. Gentlemen, good evening. And a correction, Steve.
The infamous.
This is like a hybrid of a Blues Day recap roundtable and a fan forum at the same time, because, you know, as we speak, the New York Knicks are currently playing the Brooklyn Nets, and so we're going to be talking about. I know I'm going to talk a little bit about that, but let's just go into the topic at hand. Congratulations to offensive coordinator, now new head coach Ben McAdoo. It's actually, in my opinion, it was probably the best option for the Giants to go, was to keep Ben McAdoo somewhere involved. Changing the offense on Eli and on Odell Beckham and on Victor Cruz and the entire offensive line would have been, you know, very detrimental to this team's progress, to how this team was going to go forward. You don't want Eli having to, you know, relearn another new offense, because there's a very good chance that had McAdoo not gained this job, he was more than likely coming to Philadelphia because he was a top candidate for them. And if by some miracle that he doesn't end up in Philadelphia, you know he'll end up in San Francisco. So it was the best thing for them to get Ben McAdoo for him to stay with the team, keep the offense going, get some continuity with this franchise, with this offense, and see, you know, what'll end up happening. I mean, next year, who knows? Maybe we'll get Victor Cruz back, and we'll finally get to see him in the tandem with him and Odell Beckham. Who knows what happens
in
the draft?
Maybe we won't.
Then again, maybe we won't. You never know. But at this point, you know, it's like Chris, like you said, it's now his show. He's the one going to be responsible for this. He's the one that's going to be on that podium every Sunday and Monday. You know, having to answer questions on why this has happened. Because Coughlin was the one that had to, you know, had to suffer that Dallas game. He had to suffer that. You know, all those losses, you know, week after week after week with the blowing leads. So now it's, hey, McAdoo, it's time for you to step up. You wanted this job, now you got it.
That's it.
I mean, it's valid points, Chris. I agree with Ev. It logically makes sense. We all knew it would usually the Giants hire within, they hire close to the system. I mean, was it going to be him or Spagnuolo between the two? You probably go with the guy who's been there the most recent, and that's McAdoo over Spagnuolo. So I understand the move. And at the same time, you kill two birds with one stone, keep Eli in the same office. But the question I have, and I've been harping it as recently to my old man tonight when we talked earlier tonight, what do you do with the defense? You need a defense. So if Ben McAdoo could somehow bring in a coordinator just to run the show and you spend your – next, I don't know, 5 out of 7 draft picks on the defense, that's what you got to sell me as a Giants fan to make this thing work, man. And overhaul that thing to as fast as you can, Chris. That's how I look at that.
They did. And it's an overhaul in progress. That's my thing with this. But you know what? This is the McAdoo era. It's going forward. And I know he has more – I mean, he's going to get criticized or the Giants franchise actually is going to get criticized for moving within. You know, a lot of people are going to say, well, why didn't you go get Doug Marrone or somebody like that and bring somebody more, you know, somebody more progressive with more experience. But wait a minute. They're going to go further on. And they're going to say, well, you know, hiring McAdoo is just the same as keeping Coughlin. It's going to be the same thing. He's been there 2 years and he hasn't produced anything great, blah, 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 blah. Hold on, you know, there's a formula at hand, and like I alluded to at the outset of the show, there was some kind of friction there that's totally irrelevant to talk about now. Now it's his show. Now it's his. You know, we did this 12 years ago when Fossil left. People were crying. Well, you know, he was a good coach. He did get us to the Super Bowl. You know, I think they're doing him a misjustice. You know, Coughlin was fired in Jacksonville. He didn't produce during his last few years. Why are we bringing in a losing coach? And now you see where we're at now. So hold on. Let's see where we're going. Let's see where we could take it from here. That's all I'm saying. I'm going to bring on Steve. You ready, Bev? Are you with me? Maybe not. Okay.
Hey, Chris. One thing. I did just read that the Giants do intend to keep Spagnuolo on board as the DC. So
that's a good thing.
So, I mean, it's up to him. I'm pretty sure he'll probably consider, you know, staying unless he gets a head coaching job somewhere else.
That's right.
All right. Let's bring on the next call. Let's bring on Mike Bleasy. What's up, Mike? What's going on? You got a new head coach.
What's up, Steve? What's up, Chris?
Hey,
man, love the show, as always. Chris, can you hear me?
Thank you, sir. Yes, sir. Thank you, sir. Thank you.
All right. Listen. The show is show improved time. You know, it's show improved time. I'm glad, promoting McAdoo. Let's face it, Coughlin was a shock to the system. So sliding McAdoo over was the seamless thing to do. I would have opted for a defensive coach because we know where all Giants fans know where the needs are. And, you know, if you watch a national championship game, son, that's where some draft picks need to go. Clemson got some monsters on D.
Yes, they do.
I'd love to see it just, man, some monsters, baby, on the defensive front.
Yes, they do.
All over the field.
Yep.
And guess what?
Yep.
So did Alabama. So if we use that as a blueprint, and we could basically draft from those two teams, so we'd be in good shape. I even say move up and get a couple of kids. You know, I just saw some talent out there that we need on the defensive side. But guess what? That's all we need. Now, we don't know what kind of Victor Cruz is going to come back, like you alluded to, if he could come back. That's a big question mark. Well, In my mind, he's done. And guess what? At the end of the day, we might need another, besides Victor Cruz, we might need another receiver because I'm not sold. Randall's done in my mind. Nix is done. He, you know, these guys did nothing, man. We need some guys who are going to step in and play. So, on the offense, and whatever they're going to do at running back, I mean, if I love Darkwa's game. Williams didn't really show. I like Jennings, but, you know, Jennings, if it's two running backs, can he carry that low without getting hurt? I just see the needs are obvious and open, and we need to address those. It's show improved time. Reese gets a year. That's it. If he don't do it this year, that's a wrap. And you know, but guess what? We've been talking about this all year. We all know what it is now. Now is a laser light on it. You know, there's nowhere to run, nowhere to hide. It is what it is. You got to produce. You got to at least get the pieces in place. And you have to be more than competitive because, you know what, if that offensive play call and the false is in the fourth quarter, everybody know why.
You know what, Mike, I got to tell you, man, I got to I take things on DVR so I can see because I'm always getting home really, really late.
Yeah.
And normally they're always like, you know, Empire or Scandal or something like that, man, and or the news or maybe the last of a game. Something like that, and I'm always catching the tail end, so it's always like 1:30, 2 o'clock in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And so very few interviews on, say, NFL Network do I keep. But I'm keeping
right.
Reese's for a minute. I'm keeping Reese's for a minute. Reese's press conference that he had when Kaufman left, where John Mara spoke and everybody, that was probably the worst, most rambling, damn it, I just dodged the bullet kind of conference I had ever seen in my life. He rambled.
Yeah.
He was shaky. He did not exude confidence. He didn't look like he was a general manager in charge
right.
now
of a
team that's worth $1.4 billion. You know, he did not look that way at all. And I really, before that interview, I heard everybody. I see everyone. Oh, man, Reese got to go. Reese got to go. You know, give the benefit of the doubt, man. Hold on a minute. Reed did about this bad drafts and what he did here. Said, man, leave the guy alone, man. Hold up, man. It's not easy to deal with this luxury tax and all that. No, he screwed up, man. He's just a special individual, man. And let me tell you, if he does not produce right here, I'm gonna be the first cat with the big fire reach from big old banner, man. I'm gonna tie that sucker up. It's gonna look like a damn balloon float from Thanksgiving Day parade, man. I'm gonna be the first cat there, and I'm gonna make sure I fly you up too because I'm gonna win that Powerball tomorrow. 929-477.
Me in 2 hours.
7-1.
Yeah. That's my loop.
Yeah, really,
that's my loop.
Really. Just a little bit. Right. All right, I'm gonna bring on a hot rod.
We got
what's
a diehard fan.
Yeah, what's up, fellas? I'm still here. I'm listening in. I'm just, you know, figuring out what I want to say about, you know, the Reese situation because that's my main issue, fellas, is Reese. You know, I think we've been giving him a pass for the last, say, two or three
maybe
years.
Maybe we ought to go
know.
Together, man.
You know, and hey, I'm with you on that, you know, but, you know, we always say it was Coughlin, but, you know, the play calling, you know, who do we – put that on, was it Coughlin or McAdoo, you know? And my thing is, from what the word was McAdoo was making all the offensive decisions, you know? And if that's the case, you know, is that going to, what's going to be the situation now when he has total control over the situation? And then the defense, like we all
next
say, you know? So my thing is, you know, what the report is, you know, I haven't heard as far as this Spags staying or what. I mean, you guys, have you heard that officially? Because, you know, they haven't announced it officially yet anyway. So I haven't heard what they're doing defensively. You know, and that's the big issue is the defense. What are we going to do, you know, as far as who coming in, you know, scheme and things like that. That's what I'm concerned about, you know, because our offense, even if it's going to stay the same, the defense, you know, we're the number 32nd defense in the league this year. That's what we got to improve, period. You know, we can talk about bringing in receivers and running back situations and all of that, but until we improve our defense, fellas, we're still going to be run of the mill, 79-97, whatever you want to call it.
We're going to be the New Orleans Saints. That's what we're going to be.
Exactly.
That's what we're going to look like.
Yeah. So that's
but you know what? Let's ask everybody that quick question. Just give a quick answer before we bring on the next call. Let's ask. Let's go to back to Av. Av, real quick. Just what are we going to do with the defense? High Rob brings up a great question as far as what is Ben Mack going to do? What you think he's going to do, or what should we? And then we'll go to Mike Black.
Well, first of all, I think they should do everything they can to keep Spags on board, just so they can keep the defense somewhat consistent. And then at the same time, they really need to look into the draft and look at some linebackers, because that was a big, big issue for me. They had no linebackers whatsoever. I mean, they tried their hardest, but it wasn't enough for me.
All right, go, Mike. Wow. What about you? What's your thoughts on that?
Yeah. Same thing. I think we need at least a defensive end, because I'm not sure what's up with your man. If you get that hand surgery, I don't know what's up. What's going to be up with him? I wouldn't mind an interior lineman as well. Also, a linebacker is we are so hurt, depleted at linebacker. Let's face it, Beeson's a wrap. We're going to need somebody in the middle, maybe somebody outside. I'm not saying completely rebuild the defense. I like Collins. He was green last year.
Mm-hmm.
He showed a little. And Cromartie, I mean, I like my man's got speed sideline to sideline, but we need to build on them. You know what I mean? Just build on them and I think we'd be good. You can only get so much in the draft, so I'm looking at free agency. They need to really make the move in free agency. They're only going to be able to get
much
in the draft.
Amen.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
That's where I'm at. I'm on the free agent tip. We got to start spending in free agency. You know, our motto is not to spend a lot, but we got to start spending in free agency. And if we're going to put it on Reese needs to be the one who needs to get in free agency and start spending some money. You know, I know Merrill wants change, so we got to let him spend. You know, but if we can't get anybody in, you know, a free agency this year, then, you know, what are we saying? You know, we're not going to spend. We're just going to hope we go through the draft and get it, and that's not going to happen. Like you say, you're only going to get, five or six people out of the draft, and, you know, it's no guarantee we're going to hit. You know, we our track record on hitting on draft picks are, we all know, we're not doing well. You know,
right.
outside of Beckham and JPP, you know, what else have we really got? We got a couple of linemen that are starting to show, offensive linemen, which, thank goodness, we're finally getting, you know, they started to show at the end of the year. Our line actually played well, you know, so Reese definitely has to do a lot better, in my opinion.
He does. I think that with McAdoo there's going to be a louder voice towards Reese. In other words, it's different. See, Reese never, ever hired a coach before. This is new for him, too. So, and I'm sure they're going to be on his ear right away. Hey, you're going to have to do this. You're going to have to draft this way. This cat, we can free up money for him to get this cat on the market, blah, 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 blah. They'll work it. They're going to have to.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm going to bring it's 929-477-4171. Tweet us at Bleed Blue Show. I'm going to bring on Slack. What's up, bro?
What's going on, man? I'm itching over here, man. I'm like jumping in. I don't know if that's a power ball or what. I'm itching to get in here, though, man. Let me tell y'all about this defense. What's going to help? See, it's not even so much the personnel. See, everybody wanted to throw the personnel. We don't have high-name personnel, but we have decent personnel. Part of the problem with that defense last year was when we had games won and we needed defense to stop, we went in some crappy prevent and we got burnt. period. Ain't nobody can sit, you know, Spags pulled it off. He pulled off the dog, and we sat back, and we don't have cover linebackers. We can't cover a tight end with a wet blanket. So we don't have that type with us. You know, but I do say this, though. You need to keep JPP. Even though he wasn't that stud he was, he changed that complexity of that front line. Now you need to add him on the other side. You need to add a real defensive end on the other side that help him. Now, because, see, the thing is, he can play the run just as good as the pass. That's why you keep him. And then you look at Jasper Brinkley. That dude needs to stay because that dude played his butt off. We got to go on the draft to get one or two good. We got to find one or two good finds in that first round too. But everything else got to come from free agents.
Yep.
Everything else. We finally on the verge. We finally somewhere we haven't been in a long time, and that's with money to spend. And if we keep that in our back pocket, we're going to just keep this. No matter who our head coach is going to be, it's going to be the same result. So we got to take that money and go get some players. And that's bottom line. I'm telling you, that defense, even though it's 32nd, you understand, we won a Super Bowl. We was terrible at defense, too, until the stretch. So we got to the stretch. That's when we got good. So if we get that same type of intensity back and Spags stay attacking, we will be all right. But the moment he go off and start to pull off and get in that prevent, like I say, can nobody ever tell me where I saw prevent work on anybody from any team anywhere? Because that's kind of prevent is prevent you from winning. That's the way I see it. Because you sit back and you let somebody like Romo and Brady pick you apart. What you think they're gonna do if you sit back and just give them all day, especially with no pass rush? They gonna pick. We can't cover but so long, and we weren't even good at cover.
Yeah.
So, but you know, let me voice my opinion. One thing on this new head coach hire, I'm on the fence. I ain't against him. I ain't with him. I think we was pressured because Philly was making a threat to him to make that move. Now, that's my personal opinion because Philly want him, so we ain't want to give him to Philly. Now, do I think he got potential, but if his play calling don't improve, because a lot of them play calls down the stretch was like maybe you scratch your head like bald head, Mr. Clean, I got a head for the hair, and I scratched you the scalp. And if he don't get that play calling together, you know, we get a rhythm going, momentum, rhythm, then all of a sudden it's gone. It's gone because of what he calls. I don't know. They say he called it, so if he called it, he got to just be improved. He don't have no real feel of the game as it's going on, especially down the stretch. That conservative stuff don't work no more. We can't be conservative down the end and try to be, you know, passive aggression, especially when we got a short lead and we can't maintain a lead because our defense is really just not that good, especially when we're sitting back. But I'm supporting them. If that's the final decision, I'm a supporter, but I will voice my opinion if I don't like something. But I will support him because I support the Giants. So I'm going to support him all the way through. But I just hope he gets that a little better, you know, get a better feel. And, I say one more thing, and I'm going to shut up because I can keep going. I know y'all got other people want to talk.
Yeah.
But as much as I like number 44, he got to go. I'm sorry. He got to go. Yeah, Dre, he got to go. Gotta go. Hey, the boy can't see. He runs right into his lineman. Look at him. He run into his hose. Be right there. He put his head close. Now, I've seen him truck some people that made me say, God, I'm glad I ain't got to tackle him. But when he run up on the line, we don't need that. To be honest with you, I'm a little shocked and upset they didn't run Darkwood, however you say his name, Darkwood, you know, much, because that boy produced when he played. Let him play. You know, that's about it, man. Because I can keep going, man. You know, I'm going wide receiver. Don't let me start on that. Oh, geez, man, this is going to be all day.
No, don't start on that.
We're going to get everybody.
But on seriousness, I mean, I think we, like I said, I don't think we're too far off, to be honest with you. So we got to make calculated moves. That goes back to that guy that everybody keeps talking about, and that's Reese. See, because
yep, exactly.
I wouldn't keep them doing, if we at that still stinking point, during mid-season, he got to go. Why wait till the end of the year? He's not going to prove nothing at that point. So why? He got to make these decisions and make the, he got to be a little. See, what Reese was doing, Reese was trying to get people on a budget. That's why he got Beeson on a budget, you know, on budget.
Yeah, he was priced out.
Injured players. But now we got a little bit of money. That's what I'm saying.
Yep,
we
yep.
got. If he ain't spending that money, and cause he ain't, I know he ain't. If we got 60 something million, he only spending 30. He ain't keeping 30, so he better spend 60 somewhere. I don't care if he gets all new cheerleaders. He better get spend 60 million. I'll take a bunch of new cheerleaders.
We don't got no cheerleaders.
Yeah.
But that's what I'm saying. If he can keep 30, put 30 in the cheerleaders. Put him in. Buy the cheerleaders or something. You can't hold that money. You got to let it go. And we got to get some quality.
Yeah,
and you know, we got to
hold, hold on.
All right, hold up, y'all. Hold up.
Chris,
y'all.
Who else we got? We got a couple more people. Everybody stay on the line. We're going to go back around the round table, but get other people on the line. Chris, who we got next?
Right now, my sister's on the line. How you doing, baby?
I'm doing fine.
And
no cheerleaders. Giants do not need any cheerleaders. No. No.
We ain't gonna get no mascot either, honey. We got no.
We can have a mascot.
Like,
we can have one of those, but no cheerleaders.
What kind of mascot we gonna get?
No, how you feeling? How you feeling this? How you feeling this McAdoo thing, babe?
I'm not sure. That's what I said because I don't know who has the final say. We got a head coach, we got a manager, we got this the line, the offensive coach. Who has the final say?
That's a mystery.
Who has? They need to be talking to one another. And the way the situation is now, we're going to need somebody to take over his place. They need to communicate with each other. Now, the ones that they already know what we need, whether they get it and put it into play is another thing. You know, I'm confused with who's in charge. You know, they need
you know
to talk
to
each other.
You know what's funny about that? Because I was just that's what another thing I was talking to wanted to express to Mike Black and Steve. You know what's really funny about that? Did y'all see that press conference when Coughlin left? Did y'all
yep.
see that? Let me ask you something. Didn't it seem like Mr. Mara was like the owner of the pizza shop that never comes around, but he came around just because there was a grease fire? Did you ever get that feeling? Or he came around because there was a robbery? Or whatever. Like he's never in the shop. You've never seen the dude before. The employees didn't know who the cat was. You know, he sort of showed up, and he knew all this information, and he sort of, and it's like the reporters were all looking like, who's this guy? And
yeah.
It's funny because Doris just said, like, who's got the power? Well, we don't know this dude. Not in that way. We know what kind of ownership they are in terms of patience or whatever. But, Dad, man, that's one of the things that really, that's part of the problem, what all of us are talking about tonight. You know, it's just no definitive line, and we're not going to get it. We're not going to get it. You know, we're going to have to live with Reese for a minute and continue to bitch about him. We're going to have to deal with this McAdoo situation. Somebody, please mute your mic. I don't know.
If you're not speaking, just mute your mics real quick. Just mute your microphones real quick.
But nonetheless, it is what it is, and this is where we are. Steve, bro, what you got, man?
I ain't got nothing to say. I want to hear from more Giant fans and get their thoughts. So whoever's next on the line, bring on.
929-477-4171. We on Twitter. We on Google. Check us out. Bleed Blue Show. I'm gonna bring on Daniel. I know he's probably real amped about this. What's happening, bro?
Daniel, what's good?
Yo,
what's up, baby?
Yo, somebody said something about the McAdoo that I was getting ready to say. I think that was like a
desperate
move with the Giants, man. Like, they know Philly wanted him bad, so they go ahead and make that offer to him. Like,
right.
I don't know. I think they should have waited a little bit, man. I'm pretty sure somebody out there, like with the Patriots staff, who else is out there? Like, I'm pretty sure Panthers got somebody. I'm pretty sure the Seahawks might have somebody.
I think
they should have been worded on that head coaching thing, man. And then, like, just like last year when I was talking about, who we would have drafted first, like if we would have drafted somebody, and I was like, yo, I would have went for Denny Shelton. I'll still go for a DT this year again. I know we need some DNs, but I'll go for a DT and a linebacker, man. Like, we need that bad. And then the rest of it, like the secondary, you can fill that up with the free agency. You know what I'm saying? Spend that money on that. You feel me? But, like, no. And then another thing is, like, with the O-line, I don't see us doing too much on the O-line because they did good this year. They did better than they did last year. So, I don't know, man. Like, overall, man, I think this McAdoo thing is kind of desperate, man. They could have waited a little bit, man. There's somebody out there that could coach that team, man. Like, I know McAdoo probably, like, he know the players. You know what I'm saying? He could get – I don't know, man. I don't know. I don't feel too good about it. I feel like they did the desperate move, man. Real desperate move because Philly wanted him bad as hell. So,
like it was rushed? Like it was rushed?
It was knee-jerk.
Man, I feel Philly was gonna snatch them. You know what I'm saying? So they like, yo, you know what? Yo, you could be our head coach. We'll top the dollar that they set, like they offering you. That's how I feel about it. I think it was a desperate move. It might turn out to be good or whatever. It might turn out to be better than last year, but I don't know about it, man. Like, and plus, how can you turn a team around if you don't have the talent? I mean, is it going to be like the same thing as last year? Is it going to be the same thing? I don't know, man. I can't even speak on it that much. Feel me? I can't even speak on it that much. So, yeah, man, I think it's a desperate move with the McAdoo thing overall. Straight up.
Hold on. Let me say something real quick, and then we'll go back around the round table. We'll go back to Knickerbocker Ave, then go back to Mike, then Hot Rod, then Flat, then Doris, then Daniel, then Chris. I look at it like this. There's pros and cons to this. My only gripe with this move is because there wasn't no defensive coach out there that I would want. They got to overhaul the defense. They got to – 5 out of 7 draft picks got to be defense, free agency, all defense. Everything's got to be all defense in the offseason. But the pros, I mean, if you really look at it logically, I mean he could still be he's the head coach, and he could be the play caller. That's a plus. You don't have to get rid of your play calling duties and not still be a head coach. So I'm cool with that because Eli Manning's the last 2 seasons has been good. The offensive side of the ball, I'm not too worried about. I mean, there's other things like the red zone offense that definitely needs a lot of work. Red zone offense needs a lot of work. But we don't know, or I don't know, and maybe you guys may know, that maybe a lot of that was Coughlin holding back on what McAdoo wants to run it. I don't know. I mean, we might see an offensive display that Coughlin we didn't see in the Coughlin era the last 2 years when McAdoo was the offensive coordinator. I mean, there's little things like that we may get to see, but that's not the least of my concerns. The worst is linebackers, hands down linebackers. Chris, anything else you'd like to add? Go back to add.
Yeah, I'd like to add one more thing. Check this out, y'all. When you're not speaking, try to mute your mic, okay? Try to mute your mic. Try to hold on for at least, like, maybe as long as it takes until we get back to you, then unmute, because you're going to hear us call your name. We're going to say, you know, yo, Chris, blah, blah, blah. Try to do that. That way, you know, we can hear everybody really, really clear. That's all I'm asking. All right.
Everybody mute your mic. We'll go back around. Go back to
the
end.
What was we talking about, Steve? I was headed somewhere and I forgot about that.
No, we would just go back around and get some thoughts because there's some pros to this move, but then there's that unknown. The unknown is what worries me about this move is what the hell we're going to do with the defense. What is he going to do with the defense? I only can think
Well, let's find out. Let's go around and say we're going to go in order again. Start out with Knickerbocker Ave, the infamous. What you think, man? What do you think about the defense situation?
Well, I think it'll be interesting to see what McAdoo actually what kind of insight McAdoo is going to have on the defense. Because, I said it before, I'm going to stress it again, we do desperately need linebackers. Offensively, the only thing I really would like – worry about is maybe a tight end. But then after that, it's all defense. I don't know who said it earlier, but we desperately need some interior work on the line. We already know we need linebackers. We could probably use another backup corner, another backup safety, just so we can keep on getting DRC and Landon Collins in and out of the rotation, so that way they're not out there constantly covering deep, and they're getting wasted and getting burned on the wayside. But it'll be interesting if Spats stays on. I think things will work out a little bit better, and we'll see some improvement, because at least you get some continuity. But if Spags goes and then it's up to McAdoo, it's going to be really interesting on who he's going to look after, who he's going to bring up, and it's just going to be another roller coaster season for us. Because I don't know, because if maybe he ends up still does a play calling, and Eli's very comfortable with that, but at the same time, We all know the results he got last year and the year before that. So it's like, what exactly are we really gaining here if the talent's not there and it looks has really changed?
And I'm gonna take it to Mike Black next. I got to tell you, we've been saying for the last 4 years or whatever on this show, hey, there needs to be a new voice. There needs to be a new voice in the hallway, on the practice field, some kind of influence in the film room. We need a new voice. We need a new voice. The thing that's unknown for me as far as McAdoo's concern is this the unknown? Does he have that assertive voice? Can he just come out and reassure? I know he's a player's coach. I know the players trust him. I don't know if he's an ass kicker, though, which this team probably needs one. I know they got one on defense. I'm not sure what's happening with him. So I don't know. That's what I'm looking at. What you think, Mike?
Yeah, I've been calling for a defensive coach from the start. And this does make sense. To make McAdoo head coach means you get to keep him. You know what I mean? Keep the offensive coordinator that you've been working in. This is that offense that Eli been getting a little better every year for the last 4 years. But let's face it, the only way he can really excel in this offense is to keep McAdoo. So I get that. If McAdoo called the plays, I'm all right with that too. That fourth quarter offense, so that's what I think Chris, you might have said it too. We need that killer identity from the coach.
Yes, we do.
I've said this, that you need – that's why I wanted that defensive fire. The head coach being a defensive guy, like that Tomlin, that Cower, that guy
right.
with the – that guy, that ex-boxer, you know what I mean? Not Mike Tyson, but, we need somebody in there, son, that's going to shake the trees. You know what I mean?
Yeah, we're going to get Mike Tyson. The Giants are going to move you, guys. Going to talk like this all day.
No.
Not going to do it.
Yeah, come on, guys. Come on. No.
Yeah, come on, Gage.
We need some
Billy
fire.
Can you get a kick your ass?
No, we need some fire, and we need a guy who's going to be able to call a timeout, get these guys together, get them on the same page, say, look, we got a mission. Let's attack this. Chris, and you said this about recent press conference. That's kind of how the Giants played. They played real jittery. They played with, mm-hmm. little identity when they got the lead, because we went to the lead every game. But the thing is that all of a sudden they got tentative, and that was Reese on the podium. Tentative, not really sure, not really positive, not really strong. So I see it. I see the similarities between his press conference and the way we played. And we need that killer instinct now. Without Coughlin, like somebody said, maybe McAdoo has the opportunity now to let it go. He's going to need that. He's going to need that because everybody on the show tonight, everybody has said the same thing. We need defensive guys front to back, but we need that offensive snarl. You know what I mean? Look at Brady, cold-blooded killer. But why can't we have that?
Because
Eli
don't have that.
We need
let's
that.
Let's do it together.
I know.
Eli's not that guy. Kumbaya. That's what Eli is.
Yeah, Eli's the paper boy. Eli's the guy who jumps off the bike, throws the paper at your front door, go next door. You know, and you talk dirty to him, hey, he's good. So,
yeah.
But that's what we got. And you know okay. what? We got to work with what we got. And
Exactly.
you know, we got to spend the money, like everybody said tonight. The theme is beautiful. I love the fact that all our guys, big up the High Rod, all our guys are saying the same thing. We need the
That's
money
right.
on the defensive side. We need D linemen.
We need action.
D-backers.
We need action.
Yeah, we need action. We need action.
We need action.
You know, and we need what? Guess what? I love this kid Whitlock. You know, I love the fact that somebody went outside the box and said, hey, you know what? You was a DT in college. Go in there to 240. Go in there and shake the trees. And he did. So I
yes,
love the
did.
Fact that, you know, short little glimpses of going outside the box. Mm-hmm. Well, let's do what we got to do this year to go outside the box and get some wins.
There you go. 929-477-4171. This is the Blues Day Recap. Hey, B-Loff is on the line. What's up, big dog? How you feeling?
Oh, man. Well, me, I'm just chilling, baby. It's going down.
Well, I got that much. I got that much. What you think about what's going on in Blue Town, man? You know what's going on. Talk to me.
I see they made a decision, which I kind of feel like after, you know, the Bengals coach got scooped up, seeing as how I think they were reaching out to him more. Once he got scooped up, I think that McAdoo was kind of going to be the one because of the simple fact. I think that a lot of the choices probably maybe did not want to come in and keep a lot of the things that were already there. That's just
right.
what I thought. Which,
mm-hmm.
just like I said before, once they gave Eli the contract, he was locked in, which means McAdoo was locked in. So if they were thinking Tom Coughlin might not be the long haul, they should have thought about that when they gave Eli the contract. They should have
mm-hmm.
waited. And now they would have a plethora of options. But it is what it is. What's done is done. It might not be a bad thing. Like,
mm-hmm.
Tom Coughlin was the head, so, of course, you know what I mean, the way he ran the show might have been just a little bit generic, you know, kind of old school, you know,
mm-hmm.
let's do it this way. So the creativity wasn't there, so therefore McAdoo probably couldn't just get outside the box, you know what I mean, and let loose like he want to. Then at the same time, everybody's saying, okay, well, Reese didn't really spend the money. Reese really didn't give a whole lot. Reese really didn't do this. Reese really didn't do that. Well, if we sit back and look, well, if Tom Coughlin was saying, okay, well, I'm going to do it this way. Okay, well, Tom, we're going to let you do it your way. Well, okay, well, no, I'm not going to spend this money this year. We're going to let you do it your way. And if it's not working, and if that fails, then next year when you gone, then we go let whoever comes next, you know what I'm saying, have the reign of things. Because we already know what's coming after that. We know we got Odell. We know we got McAdoo that has Eli performing at a high level. So now we can bring in a whole lot, and we can do a whole lot more with some younger, fresher, newer minds. And now we can really act a fool in New York. Maybe that's the mindset behind closed doors that we couldn't see. You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, New York, you know, they kind of keep things hush-hush.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe that's what it was. So
maybe so.
You know,
all I know,
so I mean. I'm just saying, you know, me, I'm kind of the guy, you know, that looks for the silver lining, you know what I mean? And I'm hoping that that's the case, you know what I mean? Because one thing you said, just like the guy that said Whitlock, you know what I mean? If
right.
you look at a lot of things, you know, they're going to, you know, smaller, faster, quicker guys. Okay, Whitlock, you know, that's kind of something that's new for the Giants. So maybe now we'll see, you know, okay, something like Whitlock at linebacker, you know what I mean? Something that can cover better in the middle, you know what I mean? Something that's faster. Now we won't be getting beat, you know, in some of those areas that we were getting beat in. Maybe some of those safeties are going to get better. You know, then, hey, now we got some
maybe
upgrades coming.
We could get some safeties.
Yeah, I'm just, you know, I'm saying maybe, you know, some of these things that we've been wanting for a long time because their pocket is kind of fat this year, you know what I'm saying? And we got
That's
a good
right.
spot in the draft. So, I mean,
yes,
maybe, you know, next year, you know, pop off and, you know, You know how we do when we get in the postseason. So, I mean, hey, you know, all we can do is look up. You know, we down, so all we can do is look up.
Yes, sir. 929-477-4171. Tweet us at Bleed Blue Show. Coming to the house next is the captain, Captain Curtis. What's happening, bro?
This is Kurt from Atlanta. What's going on, brothers and sisters?
What's up, big dog? How you feeling, man?
Big Blue,
good,
Kurt.
Good.
What's going on,
fam? Yeah, I've been listening.
Kurt?
You know, shout out to my boy Hot Rod. Yeah, I need that vest, baby. every time I see him, I have to say that. But I've been listening to the call, and I'm gonna be different. I think that McAdoo was the best choice, and I understand that. You know, every caller, I understand your opinion. I respect that. You know, we need a defensive person to get us riled up and fire and run through the hole and that stuff. And, you know, I recall that this was the same thing that was said when McCarthy was hired in Green Bay. And this was the same thing that was said last year when Todd Bowles was
right.
hired, where they said, you know, Todd Bowles didn't have the personality. He's just real stoic. And you see him on the sidelines. He's real stoic, and I watched that man be stoic and have that team a game away with Ryan Fitzpatrick, you know, as your quarterback, you know, right there for the playoffs. So I think that that McAdoo, I think now, because it's kind of hard for a lieutenant to go crazier than the general, because the general kind of leads how the rest of the staff is. And if you look at it from the Giants, they don't release their coordinators to the media except a certain time of the year, all different type of things. So basically, I believe that McAdoo will show you a different personality, just like McCarthy shows you a different personality. And if he is that quiet, stoic person, then you know what? Who knows what's going on behind closed doors? Who knows what's going on in the practice field? You know, that's how I kind of see McAdoo, because again, you know, every screamer ain't the best. I mean, Rex Ryan went up to damn Buffalo talking all this, and now he got his cat between his tail talking about how to do things differently. So I think that McAdoo's personality, it will work perfect, because one, he has the continuity of the offense, which ranks sixth in scoring, 27.2 points a game. You know, I did read that he's keeping Spagnuolo. So Spags is that fiery guy to get the defense going, because real talk, shit, you don't need the offensive guy to get the troops going. He already got the motherfuckers going being stoic. You know what I'm saying? What more can he do? So I'm sitting there saying, okay, well, if he keeps Spagnuolo, then you know what? Now you got to get some horses. Now you got to get the resources. Now you got to draft. And now you got to, you know, manipulate free agency wisely, not draft, not sign no Casillas's and JT Thomas's and all these other bums that we just be giving fat contracts to, and say, okay, you know what? Let's ride. And Philbin, Philbin would be a great offense coordinator. He's a horrible head coach, but he'd be a great offense coordinator, because he was the man in Green Bay. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So I think McAdoo would be the best choice, and McAdoo was my choice. I wanted from all along, because the last thing I want is Eli Manning at 34, 35, spending another 2 years trying to learn another offense. You know, that's how I kind of think of it. And to the other caller who just said, when Hugh Jackson went to Cleveland, they was like, okay, you know what? Let's get our dude right now, because now the dominoes are about to fall. And let's keep the one dude that we have in house. But and then lastly, I believe that McAdoo was going to be the head coach in waiting all along. I mean, the brother signed a 4-year deal. He still had 1 year under contract remaining. They wasn't expecting Coughlin to, you know, resign or quit or be let go a year before that. But I think that was always the plan, was to bring in McAdoo, let him get his feet wet, and then say, hey, but now training wheels are off. You know, the show is yours. And guess what? Like the last caller said, we down. We ain't got no place to go but up. But I prefer a in-house coordinator or any coordinator better than a Maroney or a Mike Smith or all these other reset all right. drummers.
All right. All right. All right. All right.
We'll talk.
Well,
like that.
We'll talk.
Hey, guys.
Let's go back to Slap. Get Slap's thoughts. Slap, anything else you'd like to add as far as this head coach situation or whatever the stakeholders have said as far as the Giants' thoughts on the new head coach, Ben McAdoo?
Well, I mean, I kind of agree with my man, what he just said. It probably would be best to stay in-house only mm-hmm. because of the age of our captain. And that's the main thing. You don't want to keep throwing him, you know, curveballs, and he keep trying to hit him out of the park. You know, keep what we got, what McAdoo. Like I said, me personally, it didn't matter who our coach would have been, we still got to start over new because it's not TC there. So either way you slice it, whether it was Matt, Coward, whoever, we starting over new, fresh. But with this way, with McAdoo there, even though it's a fresh start, it's not a new start. It's not an unfamiliar mm-hmm. pass, at least on offense. Now, if we keep in Spags, which I do hope, Spags return back to his aggressive side and stay aggressive. Get out that pass and stuff. And, you know, other than that, man, it's going to be a ride, you know. And like I said, you know, we wouldn't think about this, though. Just put this in perspective. We lost maybe 5 or 6 games last year just due to some time management and maybe a play or two here at the end of the game, but with all these injuries. So if we get these, you know, some healthy, talented bodies on our squad, I mean, we ain't too far from, you know, shaking up this world again. And yeah. that's what we got to try to keep in mind. You know, yeah, we were 6-10, but we could have probably been 10-6. You know, I know we can't live off of could have, should have, would have, because I would have won the Powerball last week, so y'all wouldn't have had a chance. But, hey, you know what I'm saying? I'm not breaking everybody off on here, but I'm just saying. But, you know, on all seriousness, you know, we just, you know, we wouldn't too far off. So, you know, and I, like I say, my personal opinion is really put the press on. So the Giants was like, okay, we're not going to wait for one of these Carolina or Arizona coordinators to finish with their game before we take a stab at them. Because what if they say no or somebody else go get them, just like Hugh? He never even made the interview session because whatever Cleveland did to him out there, they had must have had a couple of midgets dancing for him. He said, "I'm staying. I'm coming here because I don't know why would he go to Cleveland."
Damn.
So they must got a nice midget strip club out there. So I'm going to travel up Cleveland this week. But that's it. I mean, I'm okay. Put it like this: we made the decision. Let's go forward. Now we ain't got no more guests. Yeah. Now at least we know what's in play. And he can start putting his staff or whoever, however he want to do it. And now we got a real off-season. See, we ain't got to worry about going into off-season. Guess what? Now we got an off-season. Now let's let him put his thing in place. Let's see what it's taking.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And it's going to be a new off-season, too. It's going to be, you know what? And let me make a couple of announcements here. Number one, we are on, you know, for y'all that ain't, you know, that can't call in or whatever, man, tweet us and give us your ideas and feelings. And also, we're gonna extend this podcast 30 more minutes, so we got a whole hour left, y'all.
Oh,
all
okay.
Right. 929-477-4171. You know what? It's gonna be kind of funny. I can't wait to see the highlights of minicamp and. You know, Coughlin's been there so damn long, man.
That you're
used to seeing the same thing over and over and over. But now this is going to be a new camp, man. You know, McAdoo's only 38 years old, man. You know,
man, probably
he got Similac on his milk. I mean, on his breath, man. It's tough. It's going to be a little different. Man. It's going to be a little different. So I'm waiting for that part. Doris, you know, you heard what everybody said. You know, it's just my opinion. This is just my opinion. I think I really don't see the need to even draft anybody for offense. Man, I'm sorry, I just don't. You can do that in free agents. You can do that there. But our defensive, it's Swiss cheese over there, man. We have to get rid of a lot of the assholes. You know, people like Beeson. You know, Beast is like that cat that's supposed to come over and he never showed up, but you've been waiting for him, and his dish is still on the table. You know, we can't have that no more. We can't have things like that. We got to have a new attitude. If the coach is gone, we always said it was his issue. He was the problem, and or maybe it was the shadow he cast. Well, maybe it's up to you now to change the program. That's what I'm looking at. So we got a new coach. We got the coordinators. We got new. We're obviously going to get new assistant coaches in different positions.
We better get
because
new
we haven't
trainers.
Spoken about offensive coordinator yet. So things are going to be different. So, but what do you think, babe? You've been listening to everybody talk.
Yeah. Yes, and
you know,
from D-Lawson on down, from D-Lawson on down, they all, I agree with everything each one of them three has said, and especially when it comes
to the same
defense.
Page tonight, though.
You know,
yeah,
everybody, because we all know what we need and what the problem is. It's just the organization don't know what their problem is. You know, we know what the problem is. And now it's about putting, and I agree that, you know, I like the in-house thing. Because he already knows what he has to work with. Now he just needs to know to get the rest of the pieces for the defense. And but I think I'm feeling good about this. I'm listening to them, I'm starting to feel a little bit good because maybe he was doing something on the down low, and now he has this opportunity, you know, to show what he got. Because like we said, we don't know what's going on behind closed doors. You know?
Right, we don't know.
So
well,
we have to
bring
wait until the season and see what happens.
Yes, we do. You know, I'm wondering how that meeting went with McAdoo, man. I wonder if it was even an interview. It was like, yo, man, you got the ball now, man. You know what to do. You ready? All right, here. I'm almost feeling that's how it is because just based on the way this announcement was made tonight. What you think, Daniel?
My thing overall, like with the stuff with Mac, with the defense. Even if we do draft a lot of defensive players, like say that we draft some good players, right, this year. But at the end of the day, like, what's been hurting us for the last, like, I know injuries, like, happen, but what's been hurting us the most, like, throughout the season? We draft somebody, they get injured, they cannot stay healthy. So even if we do draft somebody, like, some good players this year for defense, what about the strength and conditioning coach? If he's still there, we still gonna be hurt. We could draft the best players on defense or whatever.
Yep.
We still got that guy. Like he's still around. He's still putting band-aids, you know what I'm saying, on big wounds. Like he's still he's still around. So
I know.
We could do everything with the defense, but if that guy's still there, like I can't see him staying healthy for a long time. We'll have like a lot of beef on the field. You see what I'm saying? Like a guy broke a nail, they can't come back to the field because they broke a nail. Like if we still got that guy, not me, the strength and condition coach, like straight up, like I think it'll be a waste of draft just like in 2014, when Reese went out, he spent all that money on defense. Like, the secondary was strong. But when season started, guys started,
right,
like, falling, like, from left to right. You're like, what the hell? Then you got
to
get people on practice squad. You got to get people, like, out of nowhere that just sitting on the couch getting fat, complain, and they can't even do anything. So, like, as long as we got that do after strength condition coach, man, like, we could draft how many good players we can during the draft or whatever in free agent. As long as he's there, man, we still gonna have that same problem, and we probably ain't gonna rank 32nd this year. We probably gonna rank 33rd. That means we ain't shit. We ain't gonna be shit next year. Straight up.
You know what? I gotta tell you, Daniel. I gotta tell you. This is how I'm thinking. This is what I'm thinking. I'm thinking that Ben McAdoo is gonna go to the head coach's office. He's going to get rid of that old desk, that old file cabinet that's been there forever because it's just not his style. He's going to look. He's going to empty out all those old boxes, probably get rid of that certain TV set or whatever he got, probably laugh at the intercom system and say, nah, man, I can't roll like this, man. I got an iPhone, you know? And I really think that he's going to upgrade everything in his surroundings. I think he's going to bring in new strength and conditioning methods. I think he's going to be innovative on his offense. I can't speak for defense yet because that is a big if right there. It's a gigantic question mark that's coming from the sky, sitting on the heavens. I don't know what the hell's going on there. But I do think that he's going to bring a new flavor. If he's 38, then he pretty much knows hip-hop, man, you know?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So we'll see what kind of flavor he does bring. Nonetheless, though, we got a lot of people out here that's not on this call, man. A lot of them, you know, I've been telling you, man, tweet and email, whatever's happening on Google, whatever. And I know my man Steve got all of that information. Go ahead, bro.
He'll be real quick with it. Shout out to our dude Marlo, big stakeholder here on the Bleed Blue Show. He's not really too happy with the move. He says he's not crazy about the hire, Chris. And shout out to his Sim. And I definitely want to get his thoughts on that, too. And we talked to him on the future New York Football Giants roundtable in a couple of weeks. We'll discuss that. And, of course, on the Facebook fan page, we got a couple of reactions. We got Katrina. You know, shout out, you know, diehard fan out there at MetLife Stadium.
Right there.
Oh, yeah, that's our dude that right there. She says, she's definitely good with the decision. We need Eli to be comfortable, and he has been comfortable with him. And I think that's the real fine line when it comes down to this decision.
Right.
There's a lot of pros to it, but there's unknowns. I wouldn't even call it cons. I mean, when you're last in total defense in the universe and everything on defense, I mean, it's really nowhere to go but up. So I would be hoping you'd be optimistic to – bring in some defense, man, a lot of defense at that. Because the Giants don't need to be a top 10 defense. It will be nice.
Nope.
It will be great. But with an offense like we do, and it's going to be to a point where if you could be middle of the pack, you will make the playoffs, especially in the NFC.
Mm-hmm.
To be middle of the pack, you'd be good. But you got to get linebackers, man. You got to get linebackers and a couple of safeties and D-tackle help. To go with Hankins when he gets back from the injury. But enough from me. Let's go back around the round table. We go back to Knickerbocker Avs and Mike. And then we go back to Beloff and Kurt and Slap, Doris, Daniel. And like we would say, we remind you we got 20 minutes left. However, we will have the overtime edition. So if you still want to speak, it won't be on the audio archives. Just stay on the line. Don't hang up. We'll do the overtime. Stay on the line. Go back to Knickerbocker Avs. Your thoughts on what everybody has said, or anything else you would like to add on to the roundtable Blues Day recap, New York Giants?
Well, let me just say I'm going to start calling to the roundtable a whole lot more. I know I'm exclusively on the fan forum, but I'm loving everything everyone's saying, because everything you guys are saying, I kind of agree with almost 100%, and I'm looking at it, I'm like, damn, I'm missing out on great conversations on the weekend. So thanks for that.
Thank you too, Knickerbocker.
Real quick,
we do.
Real quick, just to get off the topic for a split second, because we do know that the Knicks did play just now. They just fell to the Brooklyn Nets. So a little bit of that news.
They lost
to the Brooklyn Nets without Carmelo Anthony, who missed the next game because of a sprained ankle. So Derek Williams had 31 points in 32 minutes. So that's the only plus side. Aside from that, Brook Lopez, Shane Larkin, and them boys, they outscored them 36-29 in the fourth quarter. That's pretty much the tail of the tape right there. I'm looking over some tweets. Somebody just tweeted out a little while ago. It looks like that Joe Philbin might actually end up being the next offensive coordinator.
Interesting.
And Steve Spagnuolo will remain as the defensive coordinator despite
the Whoa, wait season. A minute. See, now this is where I'm having a heart attack here. Hold up. No, you did not say that. You mean the former Miami Dolphins coach that didn't have no ball when Cognito did his shit?
That's he wanted to say.
Getting to reunite with John Jerry, I see.
Why do we take one step forward and two steps back?
I disagree. I disagree.
He's a good coordinator, though, Chris.
The
draft. Coordinator.
I disagree. I think that we have to remember that when Philbin was the offensive coordinator in Green Bay, Green Bay was running up and down the field. Now, some people are meant to be leaders. Some people are meant to just be, lieutenants.
Okay. You know what? I digress. Excuse me.
You get my point? Because what got him that job in Miami was what he did in Green Bay. And again, his personality ain't one to be the leader, but his personality with regards to just being a lieutenant, a yes sir, no sir type thing, that's his job. And he could get that offense, which is already six, he could keep that continuity going, allowing McAdoo the ability to learn how to coach all three facets of the game. So I think that him being on there, yeah, he sucked as a head coach, but you know, how many other coaches do you see that sucked as head coaches, but they're great offensive coordinators, they're great defensive coordinators, because they know what their strong suit is. Their strong suit sometimes is the falling line compared to leading the line. So that's what I kind of think with Tilton. He kind of falls in line, not a good leader.
I'm going to give you that. I stand corrected. Jury's still out, man. I just would like – you know what? It's a paradox, man. If you gave me a 38-year-old head coach, give me the 41-year-old friggin' offensive coordinator that likes to air the shit out and go crazy and that kind of thing. I mean,
the thing is, right? We talked about continuity the entire night. You know, for the people who support the move, it's continuity. Think about it.
It's Green continuity. Bay. It's continuity.
Who taught Bob McAdoo? I'm just talking about McAdoo. I'll coach McAdoo, right? It was Philbin, right? So basically, because he was working under Philbin when Philbin was the offensive coordinator.
Right.
So it's kind of like, you know what? Hey, I learned under you. I don't have to worry about bringing in some offensive coordinator that I never worked with, who's never called plays.
Wait a minute. I'm gonna give him the benefit of the doubt. We just got a brand new coach and a brand new offensive coordinator within hours of each other, and they weren't like up to this point. They weren't really the favorites to do anything. It's kind of all kind of new to me, so I'm gonna give it that. That's okay. That's all right. I'll just shut up until the time is needed.
I appreciate what you're saying because you're right. You know, he was horrible, and he was horrible in Miami. You know, horrible.
Yeah.
I ain't gonna deny that. But yet still here, the Giants just interviewed Maroney, and he was horrible.
I didn't want him to jump shoot. 977-417-4171. Tweet us. We're on Instagram and Google as well. Mike Black, so you just heard what happened.
Yo. Yeah, you know, sometimes that's all it takes is a little move. If memory served me correct, this cat that's tearing up stuff in Kansas City was kind of run out of Philly, you know what I mean? So sometimes you just need a little change of venue, and you can come up. And true enough, every coordinator does not make a good coach, and every coach doesn't make a good coordinator. But you know what? The beauty of this is that New York Giants fans, it's probably never been said publicly or over the air, but not only is the Bleed Blue Show the most comprehensive Giants podcast ever, but we had the most knowledgeable fans right here. You know,
yeah,
big up to O and Sim and, my man Hot Rod Slap. I mean, everybody, all the regulars and all the cats that come through, the guys that always show up at all the games. You know, we suffer through the hard losses, but guess what? We always come back the next week smiling, upbeat, positive. And Chris, and you know this, it don't matter where you go, son. You always see familiar faces. We in our battle blue, you know what I mean?
Yep.
We always ready to take them on, always behind enemy lines. And we go hard, man. We go hard. So at the end of the day, Chris, at the end of the day, the fans deserve this. Not Mara. Nobody. The fans deserve this because we go through we probably go through more than the actual players do as far as emotional
we do.
Roller coasters, the pain and agony of watching these cats not even the players, the stuff they had to suffer through with his bad play calls, clock mismanagement, et cetera. And then, you know what, the players have suffered because sometimes they're trying to go above and beyond, and then they don't have help on the other side of the field or the talent been lacking. And let's face it, injuries. Look what injuries did to our squad this year. Feld, mm-hmm. probably never going to play football again. My man Donald was rolling, man, until he got the neck injury.
Yep.
Big up to Ty. Big up to Ty. That's a good find. That Will Ty. I love that kid,
yeah,
man. I love that kid. That's something you can build around right there. But,
mm-hmm.
yeah, we need tight ends. Tight ends are an integral part of this, and we need those. So, yeah. These guys, they got this one chance to get it right. Free agency is where we got to make all our noise. And you know what? But then they can't slouch on these draft picks are precious. They are precious.
Mm-hmm.
I hope we
mm-hmm.
scouts do their homework, son, because guess what?
Mm-hmm.
This should be an all-defensive draft, and we should be
yep.
drafting
better be.
And getting the best available. The best
yep.
available at each position. No, can't waste one pick. We can't afford to waste
That's
a
right.
pick. Not one.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
That's right. We got some new voices now. That's right. Correct.
No, we can't. We can't. Now, these guys got to go hard.
Absolutely.
Got to go hard at everything they do.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
And,
absolutely.
And big up to the fans. I'm here for all the fans. Slap.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Steve, you already know.
All right.
You already know how we do, man.
Yes,
sir.
Do. I totally know how we do. Yes, sir. Yeah, 929-477-4171. Listen, we got about 13 minutes left in the podcast, but we have an overtime session. We're going to extend it 30 minutes. So, listen, you can't hang up and come back. So y'all got to stay on the line if y'all want to be part of it, all right? So, basically, you're talking about hanging out with us for another 43 minutes or so. If that's cool with everybody, that's how we're going to play it. Hey, you know, Mike Black, thank you for the shout-out, bro. For, you know, we appreciate – man, look, I don't care, win or lose. Like, what, six of the last seven seasons or whatever. We haven't been in the playoffs or whatever. That's okay. That's all right because, you know, there's not a lot of teams. I know we've won, you know, look, in the end it's about winning the rings, and we can't do it all the time. We can look better in trying to do it. I admit that. But we're making little tiny baby steps or sort of like actually kind of strides actually when you just look about what happened in the last 4 or 5 hours, more strides
mm-hmm.
towards improving ourselves, man. So
mm-hmm.
well, let's just hope this keeps on rolling. Let's keep the steamroller going. Y'all stay in the mix, man. Keep your ears close to the grindstone concerning everything that bleeds blue. You know, use your Twitter, your Instagram, your Google, your Facebook, whatever you got to do to keep us going like this, man, because we die hard up in this mob. We sure
yeah.
do, man. 947-74171. Steve Loft is up. Yeah, bro. I had a question for you, and I don't even know what it is no more, man. You know what? Don't hang up, man. I know come to me, but you got anything you want to add? I know. You know what? I'm on the piece of the phone. I can see Steve looking at me like, what?
Nah, you good, man. We're good. We're good. The fans enjoying themselves, man. Giant fans enjoying
everything's doing better, watching these games, you know, my wife, she's a Pittsburgh fan, so I've been, you know, watching her go crazy over the Pittsburgh game and stuff, whatever. My neighbor, he done came out, you know, I mean, he helped me take my groceries in the house today and shit, you know, or whatever. I said, boy, he's happy to be alive again. It must be bad to be a damn Dallas Cowboy fan, I tell you. But other than that,
Ooh.
Man, to play this lottery, hit the lottery, man, I'm going to go in training. Then I'm going to go over there, you know what I'm saying, try out the job, man. Become a deep tackle, you know what I'm saying, for the New York Giants. And everything going to be all right after that, man. I'm going to become the sack leader of the NFL and everything. We're going to be good then.
I hear you.
Yep. So I got everything covered, guys. Y'all just watch and see. But it all starts when they get
all right. Oh yeah, well I'm gonna be with you on that one, man. You know, you know, I'm gonna get my $3 worth.
Already better get it back.
Hey, so wait a minute, man. I'm having technical difficulties right now. Everything's going blank on me, man. And I don't mean literally, like, you know, because I see my my sister looking at me right through the thing, talking about,
yeah, I'm looking at you.
No, it ain't like that. It ain't like that. What was that? Slap, was that, are you up or what? I'm having
fun. Yeah, I'm here.
Slap's
with us. I just had one question I want to hear your opinion on.
Yeah, go ahead.
I know we say we want to go defense, right? And which we need to. But if Henry from Alabama, then do we take him?
No. Absolutely not.
I don't know, bro.
I'm gonna take a risk.
No. Bro, you
absolutely
see how big that dude is, man.
Exactly.
And how powerful he is.
No,
I'm not saying do it, but I'm just saying, wouldn't that make it interesting, though? Wouldn't that make it real interesting?
I want a ring, man. I want a ring in a couple of years, bro. And my heart can't take it, bro.
What Clemson showed with Henry is that it takes him a while to get going. And so when you're that tall, you know, yeah, you may be big. But it takes you a while to get going, and he don't have those moves where you can go cut on that down and go left, right. You know, so for me, when I look at Alabama, I'm looking at that tight end, second round pick.
I like that tight end, second rounder.
The brother fast, the brother big, and he can block. And you know he can block if he's on that Alabama line. So he has the three facets of the game, although he's a junior, and if he comes out, I could see him being second round, but I would not take Henry because Clemson, outside of that big 50-yard run
to the draft already.
No. I was just curious. I was just curious if he was sitting there. I know we need and want and need defense. I'm just saying, if he was sitting there, would that be something to bite at? I think that would be a tough decision, to be honest with you.
Let me ask you a question. If you had him or Shaq Lawson right there, Ken, who would you take?
Well, see, wait, hold up now. We just got a new coach about 15 minutes ago.
We're jumping all over the board.
I drafted Shaq Lawson. You know, shoot. We got, you know, he ain't got no milk on his goddamn breath yet. Y'all talking about friggin' drafting, you know what? Y'all out of control, man. Kirk,
hey, man.
Because we're doing final thoughts after this, bro. Talk to me, man. What's your take real quick? Give me something we could use, man.
Well, my thought, who are you talking about? Kirk? Who you said?
Kurt, I owe you some time to speak, man. That's all. Just say something real quick. Then we're gonna go to final thoughts real quick.
No, real quick, man. I mean, you know, everyone captured everything that we said. You know, the Giants. We looking like first said, we making strides. You know, I think that with Mr. Tisch, when he came into the paper today and said that we're making a move, he went to Mara's office and said, you know what, you're making a mockery of the New York Giants organization, and we need to make a move quick. We know who the hell we want. Let's go get the hell who we want. So now we can start truly planning for the off season compared to looking like we don't have a clue, while McAdoo could go to Philly, Coughlin may end up somewhere. You get my point. So I kind of appreciate what the Giants did, because they added stability today that we needed. We needed some type of stability. We needed, because we were looking like we were the old school New York Jets that Rich Kotite used to coach. And now I feel like, okay, you know what? Now the Giants just made a ballsy move because they never hired Young. You know, I mean, they hired him. I don't know how old Paul Sells was when they hired him, but they normally hire Dan Lees, Ray Hanley, you know what I mean? Some dunce for that's like 50-something years old. And although I did not like Coughlin because of just his military style, he was the right man at the right time once he made changes to go along with today's player. So I think now, like someone said, hey, not only does he know hip-hop, he actually could relate to damn near half the goddamn veterans on that damn team. You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
So yeah, that's good when you have a coach that you can relate to, that he knows the shit that you're going through outside of practice and outside of the game. Because y'all the same guy.
She heard everything you did. Whatever you
know
did,
what
he has followed you. All right,
you
know y'all. I got to go to
hold on. We
got to
get some final thoughts.
We got to get some final thoughts here.
Don't know
what it is.
Real quick, final thoughts.
We're gonna go. Everybody, give a 30-second a little interlude here. Start out with Doris. Go ahead, baby.
Okay. Communication. If they all can get on the same page and communicate with each other, I think I'm feeling good. I'm gonna wait for preseason. Better tell a story.
Steve, help me out. Who's up?
Let's go to Daniel. Daniel, give us about 30 seconds your final thoughts, and then we'll go back to the infamous Knickerbocker ad. Daniel.
My final thought on this, I'll just see how the things played out next year. Before I start rolling for the Giants, like, go crazy for them, I'll watch the first six games, see how they do, and then, you know, then I'll go from there. That's it.
Right, cool.
Okay,
thank you very much, Daniel.
All right.
Big day today. A big day for Big Blue, the Big Blue family, and of course, all the stakeholders. It's a pleasure to join all y'all. Feel free to join me on the fan forum with the Knicks and Bleed Blue all day.
Bleed Blue all day. Mike Black.
Mike Black is here as well. Check me out. The people who know me well call me the Iceman. I'm on my own podcast. It's the Ice Cold Sports Show, Friday nights, 9:30, 10:30 Eastern Standard Time. We get it in. All sports, all the time. That's what it is. Big up again, Steve, Chris, man. Y'all know how you do it. And you're holding us down, man. And you keep repping it, man. And guess what? When the Giants come around, they know they can look at the stands. They're going to see us. Know what I mean? We always there.
Yeah, I know exactly
never good. We bleeding blue. We never going to abandon these kids. And guess what? You know what?
Oh,
you ain't going to let nobody talk about your family. You ain't going to let nobody talk about your family, but you know how
we
to call.
We ain't going to do that. We ain't going to do that. Be locked 30 seconds.
Real quick, B-Law, real quick.
Everybody have a good night. Bleed Blue, of course. Everything good in the South.
Yep.
Deal with the Cowboy. Bring on McAdoo.
All right. Slap, 30 seconds.
Hey, man, just, you know, good to be on here. And, you know, we got a new coach, new staff somewhat. Let's just, you know, ride with our boys and let's hope for the best. You know, that's all we can do. You know, a lot of people got different opinions about who they wanted. Well, guess what? We got who's in place now. Got to go behind Mac. You know, as long as he's there,
right.
I mean, for me, he got my support. You know, and that's how I got to be because I'm not, you know, I'm a Giants through and through. So I don't care if Mac was coaching or Jerry Jones was coaching. I'm going to be behind the Giants, you know. So let's rock with them and give them our support. You know, but I know that last one, Jerry Jones, I wasn't talking. I'm talking about some strange guy off the street, not that Jerry Jones.
I got
so we let's be good with it.
All right. All right, Chief. Yeah, good to have a coach aboard, man, that knows hip-hop and Nine Inch Nails. Steve, take us home.
Hey, man, shout-outs to all the stakeholders on the Facebook fan page, the Facebook, the Bleed Blue Show fan page, Twitter, Instagram, Google+. Shout-outs to the callers, the stakeholders, New York Football Giant fans, the infamous Knickerbocker Ave, your source for the streets. We'll discuss those damn Knicks. And then, of course, Mike Black, Ice Cold Sports Show. Shout-outs to Hot Rod, Diehard Fans Hot Rod, Diehard Fans Slap, Big B Law, the infamous Kurt, the captain, checking in with us, Doris, Daniel, and myself, Chris. This has been interesting on the impromptu. And you know what's funny, Chris, and everybody on the line, because we're going to do the overtime edition, so stay on the line. Don't have to hang up. Don't hang up the phone.
Right.
Stay on the line if you want to stay on for overtime. We're going to talk this a little bit more. But it's funny that the way the timing how it works, the Bleed Blue Show, we're going to be the first ones to discuss this stuff the way it needs to be discussed with real fans.
That's
what makes the show a beauty. You don't have to worry about no typing about it. You ain't got to worry about tweeting about it. You're going to hear real fans. You're going to hear it on the iPod, iTunes, Podcast Republic, TuneIn, Stitcher apps. You can download this episode to hear diehard fans like Slap, Hot Rod, Loyal Fans, Knickerbocker Ave, Doris, Daniel, B, Love, Curtis, all the time, man. But we're out of time. Stay on for the overtime. We Bleed Blue. Don't hang up. Bleed Blue.
Bleed Blue.
Can y'all hear me? Bleep blue, 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 bleep blue.